Please do sit down. And may I welcome you all very, very warmly indeed to St. Helens, particularly as I suspect will be true for a number if this is your first ever visit to St. Helens. We're really glad you've been able to join us this evening, and may I wish you in advance a very, very happy Christmas indeed. My name's William, and I'm part of the leadership team here. Jumping to conclusions without necessary investigation can result in costly miscalculation. A number of weeks ago, a friend emailed me, "Claire and I are expecting number three, see attachment." It's the habit of many to share results from ultrasound scans of newly expected babies in the womb, and therefore I assume that the attachment was an image of precisely that, and have always thought that such pictures resemble submarine creatures rather than human figures. And so I replied immediately, I was on a train, without bothering to open the attachment. The reply went like this: "Congratulations to you both. When is it due? Love, William. P.S. Why are you sending me pictures of the Loch Ness Monster?" Janet, who, my better half, is considerably more circumspect in these matters than I, suggested it might possibly have been sensible to check the attachment prior to hitting send. I told her not to be so ridiculous, but later that evening had a little peep, and sure enough, opening the attachment, it was a picture of his wife. I have not heard from him since. Jumping to conclusions without adequate investigation, it can lead to costly miscalculation. And I think Christmas can be like that, perhaps more than other things. You know, it comes around every year. We jump to conclusions. We don't investigate. We miscalculate. So what I've had done is I've had printed on the song sheet under where it says "Talk, William Taylor," a sentence from the New Testament which I think most helpfully explains the heart of Christmas for us. And I wonder if you would join me in investigating carefully for a moment. Here is the sentence: "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Here we have the core fact of Christmas: Christ Jesus came. Here we have the amazing wonder of Christmas: Christ Jesus came into the world. Here we have the personal application of Christmas: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners, the core fact. The word Christ is a title. It means anointed king. It refers to God's promise over literally thousands of years before the birth of Jesus to come in person as royal ruler over every man and woman who has ever walked the earth. And so the word Christ speaks of divine authority, absolute power, supreme sovereignty, the right to rule. Now, I'm aware at first glance this is something that does not sit well with a 21st century listener. We in our generation have a fundamental distrust of power. Here in England, we have witnessed abuses of power at a corporate level in government, business, institution after institution, and there will in this room be many individuals who have suffered personally abuse of power. But the phrase "Christ Jesus came into the world" speaks of divine visitation, a sovereign invasion, long promised intervention by God himself into his creation with all authority. Christ Jesus came into the world. And therefore, I think it's worth observing, isn't it, that we do not need fundamentally to distrust power if the power we're being asked to trust is fundamentally good. I have the great personal privilege of coming from a family where my parents have always sought my best interests, and I hope they don't get to listen to this because they might be rather offended, but even today, with my father at 89 and my mother at 80, in increasing frailty, when I go down to my parents' home in the West Country, they want my best. I trust them. We do not need fundamentally to distrust power if the power we're being asked to trust is fundamentally good. And one look, closer examination of the life and teaching of Jesus Christ and his death demonstrates that his universal power is absolutely pure. His action, he healed the sick, he fed the hungry, he had compassion on the crowds, he raised the dead, he calmed the storm, he gave his own life. His teaching, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, love your neighbor as yourself. His character, oh, a man's man, but quite at home with women who trusted him. He spoke to tens of thousands, but related to the individual. He was at home with the wealthy, he never patronized the poor. His love, he gave his life as a selfless sacrifice to carry God's judgment at the sin of the world. Alfred Lord Tennyson had this to say of Jesus: his character was more wonderful than the greatest miracle. And so here is the core fact of Christmas, the central truth. And if we take nothing else from this talk this evening, might I ask that you take away a gospel that I hope you've had found on your seat, and perhaps read it for yourself and investigate closely this man, this Jesus, this power, this authority, this sovereignty, this right to rule over you and me. Jesus, so good, pure, perfect. Love, kindness, goodness, selflessness, integrity, faithfulness, purity, authority, perfection. Well, from the core fact to the amazing wonder, and I think you'll agree it is an amazing wonder. Forgive me for using the superlative, but the trouble with the superlative, you use to use it too often, you weaken the currency. But I think the coming of Jesus Christ into this world is an amazing wonder. At the start of 2014, back in January of this year, in anticipation, actually, at speaking at this service and others like it, I began to make a record of headlines. And I kept them on a corner of my desk. And by mid-March, I simply gave up. It was too depressing. Wonderful deeds of individual kindness, personal deeds of extraordinary goodness, numerous works of generosity and love. But alongside those, almost as a kind of canvas on which such things appeared, a backdrop of such wickedness and human evil, cruelty, sheer barbarity. Savile, Syria, Rotherham, ISIL, care home proprietors, boarding school headmasters, Catholic nuns in charge of young teenagers, Cyril Smith, Westminster paedophile cover-ups, abductions, bombings, beheadings. Do you know, by mid-March, I began to pity Corey Caulfield and Maura Stewart and John Humphreys as they read and commented on the headlines. Amazing wonder, Christ Jesus came into the world. Such purity, perfection, goodness, selflessness, power, love came into this world Sunday, fortnight ago. Amazing wonder. I cycle into to church, usually a little before 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I was coming down Lime Street next to the Lloyds building. And there, just short of the steps of Lloyds, just opposite the Willis building there, was one of Britain's rare migratory wading birds. Now, I'm not a twitcher, so, you know, but I happen to know what a woodcock looks like because I grew up in the West Country, and so I know what they look like. And there it was, still alive, having come from Scandinavia, I take it, and lying there on the steps of Lloyds, exhausted. And I picked it up. I mean, I didn't ask if it was exhausted, but it clearly was exhausted. You know, I picked it up, stuck it in my pocket, and placed it in a bush under out there in the garden, and showed it to one or two members. You know, I really haven't lost it. There are witnesses to this, and there it sat under the bush, and at 7 o'clock in the evening or slightly after that, it went on its way. And amazing wonder. It's extraordinary. I wrote to Country Life, and knowing that Country Life offer a bottle of champagne for the most remarkable letter, I am fully anticipating at any moment. I take it it's just that Amazon haven't got round to delivering it yet, but I will be celebrating. Here is a truly amazing wonder. He came down to earth from heaven, who is Christ and Lord of all. Your rightful ruler, your king, your creator, your divine Lord, came down into the wickedness and sin, the brokenness and mess of our world. Amazing wonder. Does that not leave you asking the question, why? Why Christmas? And I think the answer is there in this sentence that we're looking at. Just glance at it again, would you? You'll see it at the end of the sentence. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, this is the bit of this talk that I'm most kind of, you know, aware I'm wanting to tread very carefully on, because the word, the mention of the word sin in our age does, I know, cause hackles to rise, especially in a setting like this, on the lips of a vicar speaking of sin in a church service. And immediately it conjures up images of the kind of Daily Mail columnist wagging his finger, or the objectionable Flanders tutting at the lovable Homer. Sorry, that's The Simpsons for anybody over 65. And therefore, I hope you'll allow me for a moment just to speak personally about my own experience of these matters. I didn't become a Christian till after my 18th birthday, December 1979. I had spent so long ignoring God, his goodness, his love, his purity, that I had convinced myself that I was basically a pretty decent bloke. Yes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but that had no application to William Taylor. I could think of plenty of other people who it applied to, mind you. I mean, I knew a lot of people who needed saving, but me? Oh, no. I was a decent sort of chap. And in December 1979, for reasons which we won't go into now, I happened to be at boarding school, and I was encouraged to spend a short period away from the school, the reasons for which are absolutely none of your business. And I went to stay with my grandfather. And over the period, I had to be away for about 5 weeks. I was with him for a weekend duty visit, went to stay with the grandparents. And over the course of that weekend, he was a very clear Christian, lovely, lovely man. And he asked me to start considering the character of Jesus and the person of God. And over the next 18 months, as I began to, as it were, look vertically at God rather than horizontally at others and internally at myself, I began to realize the extraordinary gulf between me and God himself, his moral perfection, his absolute purity, and my own rather grubby little life. Listen to these words of Jesus. Jesus said, "From within, out of the heart of a person, come all these evil things. Theft, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, coveting, that's wanting what somebody else has got, wickedness, deceit, gossip, pride, envy, folly." That's just one sentence from Jesus. Now, you may think that I was remarkably arrogant and self-righteous to think that I was basically a decent sort of person and it was for everybody else, and you would be right, I was. But I genuinely thought that if Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, it had nothing to do with me, personally. But ignorance is no guarantee of innocence. And I'd never considered the extraordinary gulf between the purity of God and my own little life. And as I began to ponder the perfection of God, I began to realize that I needed forgiveness. And that this verse, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners," applied acutely to me. Here then is the personal application of Christmas. In our family, the family I was born into, we don't watch the Queen's speech. Never have. We're not Republicans, you know, we're not trying to overthrow the monarchy or anything like that, you know, but we've never, ever really made a big deal of it. Other families, it's a religion, isn't it? And in my wife's family, it is kind of, it's ritual. In fact, my mother-in-law is a tremendous monarchist. There is somewhere in West Sussex some hapless individual currently in therapy who happened to call during the royal wedding. You know, and you'll find him curled up in a fetal ball, sucking his thumb and calling for his mother. You know, it was not a pretty sight as he met my mother-in-law at the door. Anyway, now we do listen to the Queen's speech in our family, and I'll leave you to draw conclusions from that. And 3 years ago, we were heading down to West Sussex for, you know, Christmas lunch. It was about 10 to 3, and so we pulled over, and we listened to what the Queen had to say. She said this: "God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a saviour with the power to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith." And that's it, isn't it? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The core fact, Christ Jesus came. The amazing wonder, Christ Jesus came into this world. The personal application, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And let me say, you can benefit personally, as I did, from the amazing wonder of Christmas, if you personally will recognize Jesus as your Lord, your King, put up the white flag, surrender, my King, my Lord, my God. If you will turn to him and ask for his forgiveness, he died for you. He will lovingly forgive you. And may I say, it will be the beginning of the most wonderful journey in your life. May I wish you a very, very happy Christmas indeed.
William, thank you very much. Good news of great joy. And the encouragement was to explore and investigate. And here at St. Helens, we love to make that possible for people. And the new year is a great time for new starts, isn't it? So if you would like to, we lay on a Christianity Explored course.